That's it's true. Sleepy time tea.
It's sleepy. What? You gave me sleepy time tea.
I want
tea?
You to be. I don't. I want you to just only say nice things about suffragette and bookies.
Did you really give me sleepy time
There's
tea?
There's a little bit something else in there too. No, Kimmy, it's literally just. It's cinnamon tea. Calm down.
It's so good. It's
I literally
so good.
Put PCP in there. I put PCP in.
And also a little bit of clam chowder.
That's why it's cloudy like that. I'm just kidding. You're listening to We Explain Movies.
Hi!
Hey.
Welcome to the end of round 10.
I thought you were just going to end the sentence. Welcome to the end.
This is it. Today, we are wrapping up round 10, and I believe the movies that we said we were going to talk about are the movies that we're talking about, which would be starting with...
Greenland. We're hitting, like, all of them, too. Greenland was first, then Kayleen's talking about...
Divergent.
And Kimmy might talk about Suffragette, or have you forgotten it entirely?
No, I took notes.
Okay. Nobody's talking, Ollie. Kimmy's talking...
About Boogie Nights.
Yep, and I am not talking about Chaos Walking. Perfect. Yeah, 4 out of 6. Dynamite.
That's a lot. We're usually... Sometimes we're even overlapping. We only talk about, like, 2 things.
Yeah, this
so,
is fun.
So, good for us.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean Kimmy. Good job.
Hey, I just feel like I never do, and you guys always do.
But before we talk about Wrapped, we always start with like a little game or shindig, and today that comes in the form of listener questions.
Yeah.
We put it out there, ask us listener questions, and y'all came through.
Yeah.
We actually had too many questions, which is sick, because in the past, TBH, we've been scraping for those questions.
In the past, I've been like, sister, ask me a question. I might discuss it on the podcast.
So thank you guys who submitted, and next time we ask, if you didn't submit, you better fucking submit.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I was going to finish up being like, hey, you guys, pitch in a little bit.
Imagine if we told our listeners, pitch in more.
I like to threaten our listeners.
Yeah. You know, we've gotten questions from, like, Dakota, Daniel, the boys, all of whom have been, like, a part of our podcast in some capacity. But this time, we have new people to talk about.
Yeah.
We have new listeners.
Yeah, noobs.
No, she's been around for a while.
So have these other boys.
Yeah. Anyways, what we're saying is we have listeners.
We're like, people like listen to us say stuff sometimes.
Yeah, and we don't know them in real life.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe?
But also, if you want to talk to us and hang out, like, we can.
Yep. We made, like, our bestest friends ever on the internet.
Yes. We did.
Yeah.
So that could be you.
That could be you.
But you playing.
First we threaten you, then we say you playing.
Then next we I'm gaslight gonna call you.
I'm going to call you a little bitch soon.
Yeah. We should come up with a meaner name for the boys.
Instead of the boys.
Except you stupid sluts.
Keep that
it
in.
It wasn't that funny, Kimmy.
I loved it.
So, we can each say one of the questions.
True.
Yeah. So, who wants to go first?
I'll start it.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so we had a pretty fun thing happen for one of the questions we're doing. So, our first question comes from Sweet Film Talk, which has kind of become our low-key, and I say low-key because we haven't, like, talked about it, but, like, our low-key other podcast friends who we talk to them a bunch and listen to each other's podcasts, and they're very cool. And so they asked us, your mind gets a movie erased from the Men in Black pen, so you go to watch it again for the first time. Which movie is it? And I love the way that that's worded, so I wanted to read that one, but funnily enough, Jordan from Take 3 Movie Podcast asked the exact same question. So, we will be answering what's a movie you wish you could watch again for the first time.
Okay, so I had an interesting time with this question because I was like, so many of my favorite movies, I can vividly remember what it was like seeing them for the first time.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to get rid of those memories. Oh. Like, I don't want to get rid of the feeling of walking in to see Arrival and just having my world explode open. Like, gotcha. I don't want to get rid of that. Another one, Titanic came to me in, like, these fun pieces growing up where I was allowed to watch certain scenes and not others, so I was
funny.
I was like, what do I go with? Honorable mention number one, I kind of got to do this because I waited so long in between rewatching it that I forgot all the twists.
I love when that happens.
Ugh. And now I'll never forget because I watch it every Thanksgiving like an idiot. It's Prisoners.
Oh.
It's, like, the only Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
Aside from some others, but Prisoners has such a good twist. It's fun to forget. There's so many puzzle pieces to it. There's, like, 3 mysteries in one movie.
Yeah.
Super fun. My other honorable mention, just because I now have it memorized, is Promising Young Woman, which was such a good first viewing. Like, it blew our minds open. Yeah. None of us expected what happened to happen. So that would be kind of cool to go back and maybe even, like, erase the trailer from my mind. But again, it's only
that
honorable mention.
That would be fun to watch it without knowing what she's doing.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm still very happy with that first watching, so I don't really want to get rid of it. So I think my real answer, in just, like, a fun way, is Endgame.
Wouldn't it be so fun? That was one of my answers.
Yeah, to just experience that again. Yeah. That'd be amazing. And so something that I have been doing that's been really fun is I follow this person on TikTok who posts scenes from Endgame the night of the premiere.
Yeah.
So he's, like, recording on his cell phone, and he'll just post crowd reactions. Oh. So, like, when you find out Tony Stark has a daughter, everyone just goes, "Aww!" And when you see Carol, like, come in and destroy Thanos' ship, everyone's, like, losing their mind. Yeah. And so it's really fun to, like, relive that and watch everyone experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah, that was one of my two answers for that exact reason, that I'm like, because I get what you're saying about, like, not wanting to take that experience away because it was sick, but it's like, I'm gonna crave that high until there's another 20 movie saga that has a great ending.
Like that?
When am I ever gonna have an experience that again?
I know that we talk about Endgame a lot, but you have to understand. It was the biggest feature film event in history at that point.
Definitely for us, like in our lifetime.
For us, I mean, the only other thing comparable might have been like The Force Awakens, or well, actually Phantom Menace. But that disappointed so many people. And so it's really awesome that we got that joy and we got all those moments, all that fan service. We were living that night. We screamed so much.
Yeah.
It was such a phenomenal time.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of want to, even if it were just to, like, watch Black Mirror style, us, like, rewind our eyes.
And
I'm sitting next to you two, and I'm sitting next to that boy who showed up dressed as Spider-Man, and that other boy who showed up dressed in a custom Iron Man suit. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then he cried.
Yeah. And so then he told us what the noise was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Okay, so then I only have one answer, and this is specifically, I'm glad that you worded it this way, Sweet Film Talk Boys, because I would specifically need to have my mind erased, not just from my viewing experience, but from pop culture in general ruining this movie for me. It's The Sixth Sense. Because it's just so one of those things, kind of like how I'm surprised Citizen Kane wasn't spoiled for me. You were like, Family Guy, it literally has a joke where they spoil the movie.
The Office does. Yeah. Everybody knows what Rosebud is by now. I'm so happy you didn't.
I know. And so it's one of those where I feel like The Sixth Sense, everyone always be fucking spoiling that. And so I knew. I went into it and I was like, wow, I'm glad that I watched it even though I know, because it was still really good and it just would have been cool to have a first time viewing where I don't know what happens.
That would have been really cool.
Okay, I picked La La Land. A couple other ones that I had on the list, or just one other one that I had on my list, was The Prestige.
Oh, you know? I thought about that, yeah.
And, like, every time I watch these two movies, I still get the whole, like, feeling. Yeah. But to experience that for the first time, like, that fucking hit the spot. Mm-hmm. Now I know it's coming, and it doesn't make it less satisfying, but I want to feel it for the first time again.
So our next question comes to us from very loyal and sweetheart listener, Carrie. Carrie has been following us on Instagram for quite some time and sent us really sweet messages and then started following us on Letterboxd.
I know.
Hell yeah, Carrie.
The dedication.
We really appreciate you. You're like our, I feel like our one true fan who doesn't have a podcast of their own.
True, and also a fellow lady, which is cool, because we've made a lot of male friends through this.
Yes. True that.
So that's really nice. And we sent you some stickers in the mail, and I hope you got them. And Carrie's question is, what movie character or movie characters would have survived the COVID pandemic?
I can go first. Yeah, so I actually put very different answers for this, which is kind of why I wanted to go first, because I wanted to pick someone, like, badass, because it's like, we're talking about a pandemic, but then at the same time, I'm like, I'm just a normal-ass person, and I'm, you know, knock on wood, surviving the pandemic. So I was also like, maybe I'll just pick someone who's normal. So my first pick is Sarah Connor, because I've been watching all the fucking Terminator movies. That bitch can survive Judgment Day. she'll survive the COVID pandemic.
Honestly, I don't think she can survive hanging out in her home by herself.
she was in a mental hospital by herself.
That's true, actually. She would be your COVID friend that gets ripped.
Yeah, yes, exactly. However, in the timeline of Terminator, she doesn't make it to this year, but that's okay. My other answer, the one that's just more similar and who logically still would probably survive the COVID pandemic, is Lady Bird. Because she's really young and she's feisty, and I just feel like, why would she not survive the pandemic?
I hope so.
Okay. I have two answers. Okay. My honorable mention is Charlize Theron's character in Young Adult.
Oh.
That girl doesn't care what happens.
That makes me think the opposite.
I just think that she's, like, really, like, resilient in like, a rock bottom kind of way. Although she does smoke a lot, so that's not great. But I feel like, I don't know. I know there's a lot of people out there who haven't been taking it very seriously, and they've been fine, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. I see.
Well, my real answer is way better.
I'm ready.
My real answer is Michael Shannon's character in Take Shelter.
Yeah.
He just build a fucking bunker and be done with it. And
yeah.
Take his wifey, Jessica Chastain, down there, and he'd be fine. Very resourceful.
And he would be correct that the pandemic happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be prophetic about it, so he would know mm-hmm. ahead of time. Mm-hmm.
I also picked a fun shut-in.
Oh god, is it?
It's 10 Cloverfield
Lane. Yeah!
Howard from 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
So then I also wanted to pick, like, movies that are not that. Alice from Welcome to Me.
Mm.
That's a Kristen Wiig movie, because she would just, like, have a YouTube channel and it would be amazing. And she'd be okay. Thank you, Carrie, for your question.
Our last question comes from our baby boys, the Take Three a Movie Podcast boys.
The Stupid Sluts.
The Stupid Sluts.
I believe specifically Nick created it, just to give credit.
Oh, okay. My bad. His question was, if you could time travel to be on any movie set in the history of movies, what would it be, and what role in production would you want to fill?
I think I want to go last.
I'll go first.
Okay, this is a very in-depth question. Yeah. I feel like I really had to, like, think about
it. I'll answer it fast. All right, I have three answers. Number one, Titanic. What do? Play all the parts.
Play all the parts.
It's a one-woman show of Titanic.
It's a one-woman show of Titanic. But if I don't get to play all the parts, what I would do is I would be craft services, and I would prevent that one crew member from pouring acid into the clam chowder. Did you know that somebody poured acid into the clam chowder on the set of Titanic and got everyone super fucking fucked up?
I thought it was like PCP or some shit.
It's one of them. People went to the hospital.
I just heard that on their podcast.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, I'm a diehard Titanic fan, but like when I found that fact out and was like reading in
That's
depth
so
about
scary.
It, I was like, what person? Or maybe I would just go back in time and my role would be to eat the PCP clam chowder.
Sacrifice yourself.
And then act out all the parts.
Then you probably could.
Right? That'd be fun. Wow. Just kidding. It would not. No, instead I would be on the set to humble James Cameron every day. And I have this job as another movie too. So either on the set of Titanic or the set of Wizard of Oz, I'm there to protect the lead actress.
I love that.
And so when James is like, the water must be freezing cold so we can see Kate's nip-nops, I would be like, Kate, here are hand warmers for your boobs.
You're the intimacy coordinator.
And then there's like these little square-shaped things in her bra.
And then I tell him, I'm just like, that's what titties looked like in 1912.
Yeah.
But also, that poor girl got pneumonia.
Yeah.
I hope she wasn't also drugged with the PCP chowder.
Damn.
But I would just be looking out for her. And then with Judy Garland, everyone involved, you're dead.
Yeah.
You look at Judy wrong, you're dead. And I'm there to just give her snacks.
Daniel and I, on an episode of a podcast that will be available in a bit, we talk about how there was like an outburst on the set of one of the Terminator movies, and I said that there should
be Christian Bale.
Yeah, and I said there should be a bullshit coordinator. Because we were talking about how it is fucked up, like, that someone recorded and leaked it. Like, that's not okay, but there should be someone who, like, their job is like, hey, no, you don't act like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like maybe so that could be you on therapist. Wizard of Oz.
I'm just like eating popcorn and like throwing it at the heads.
No yelling.
No yelling.
Yeah.
And then my real answer where I wouldn't be doing something silly and stuff is I would have loved to have been involved in Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm. As what? I don't know. Roller skating extra. Yeah, that'd be really cool. Or even, I think, just being a PA on a movie set would be cool. I think being a line producer on a movie set would be sweet. Mm. Do I want to write a movie? I want to write a movie. That's what I want to do. Yeah, I would love to be in the writer's room for something or part of the script writing process. Mm-hmm. Or something like a Birds of Prey. Sick. Those are my answers. Good question.
Yeah, okay. I like that question.
My answers. I had a hard time because I knew which movies I wanted to pick because I just wanted to be there. Right. And just, like, see what the fuck happened, you know?
But then you have to pick, then like, the right pick thing to be.
Thing, yeah. So, like, I don't know. My first honorable mention is Greta Gerwig's Little Women.
Ooh.
And I would want to be the person who brought Timothée Chalamet and Meryl Streep McDonald's. Oh. I also just want to see Greta Gerwig work. Like, I just want to see her work. I love how they talk in that movie. It really sounds like they were just like, say whatever you want. In a lot of scenes, you know?
That sounds like an insult.
No, like I...
Like it sounds natural?
Oh,
it
sounds natural. When they're joking and like they're... Like when they have Lori coming upstairs to be a part of their theater group. That was very like... It's not improv, but it feels very free.
Yeah, it feels so light and like not like weighty like cinema text, you know? Like especially like Joe and Lori's fight. It's kind of just them, like, word vomiting. And it's not, like, oh, of the time. That's why I love that movie so much, is that it's, like, a classic but modernized. And I love that.
That scene is so rhythmic, too. Like, you could straight up dance to it. I love you, Joe. No! Also, Kimmy, if you were there, you could remove the Hydro Flask that got left behind on set.
Is that true? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. In the scene where they go to Lori's grandpa's house and Amy's like getting her hand bandaged, there's a Hydro Flask in the background.
Like, hold for Hydro Flask. And that's me taking the Hydro Flask away. My second honorable mention is The Lobster. Like, and who would I be? I would be Yorgos Lanthimos. Like, I would just be him.
Damn, bro.
I just want to know what he says. Like, I just want to know what he says to them.
So you're gonna like possess him?
Yeah, if I could like have his brain. Like, I wouldn't want my brain inside Yorgos Lanthimos' body.
Okay.
I want to become Yorgos Lanthimos.
Wow.
With witchcraft, we can make this happen.
Okay. And my real answer, you guessed it, it's Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
I really, like, the questions these days have really been lending themselves to my favorite movie, so don't at me, yo. I've had to think really hard. And this said, what part of production would you be? I want to be in that movie. Like, I want to be in it. I want to be in it.
Think of someone you could replace.
In the world of Middle Earth, I would be a hobbit.
You are very short.
Yes. But just for my own, like, feel-gooded goodiness.
An elf?
No,
she's going to pick I Am No Man.
Yeah, I would be Eowyn. I want to say that fucking line. What an iconic line. I always post it for International Women's Day. It's fucking sick. It's so fucking sick.
I mean, yeah, why not be her?
It's like an entire cast of just men, which I love. No, don't get me wrong. I love all of them, and that's fantastic.
I love when they all
she
love
loves
each other.
Gollum.
I don't love Gollum.
We got her!
But when the woman gets to come up and defeat the big bad, and she says, I am no man. How did they do that? How did they do it? Like, I remember watching The Return of the King with my bubby in the theater, and I would do anything to watch that shit again.
You should have said that, like, 20 minutes
ago. I know, but I knew I wanted it for this one.
Just, oh, gotcha.
I remember, I was such a dramatic bitch when I was young. I was like, my dad was like, I think it was my mom actually, was like, how did you like it? And I was like, I just wish they would have waited for me to be old enough to be in it.
Aww, that's
they didn't
really
wait
sweet.
For me. And my mom was like, let's go home.
They didn't
wait. It's that
me.
Little dramatic bitch again.
Oh. Yeah, so that's my answer.
Love it. Okay, my answer, I'll just say them all then, because why not? One was just, I was like, I want to be on, like, some big-ass movie set where there's like actual practical stuff and like cool, like an action movie or like a fantasy or something epic. And I decided I would want to be on the set for Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. That would be so fun. And I was looking at BTS photos to make sure it's like not all fucking blue screen. And they have like full ships and stuff. So I'm like, that would be really fun. And I didn't know who to be because I want to make sure that I'm like at every scene. And so I decided to be a boom operator. So
you're
going
to get ripped.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
How do I get buff as fuck?
Being on a set of pirates. And then my other one I would also have to get buff as fuck for. And I have two answers that are tied. So these are my real answer. It would be on set for Charlie's Angels and Kill Bill, and I want to be a stunt double. Like, there's a part of me that feels like I could do it until I think about the part where I, like, actually have to risk my life, and I'm like, oh, I cannot. Yeah. I'm so afraid.
Those people are really doing so much.
Yeah, they're doing the most.
But if I had that mentality and were ready, that is, like, a dream. Awesome. Thank you, listeners, for submitting questions, and we have pocketed the other ones. We might use them in the future, so we appreciate you.
Sweet. Okay, moving into, if this is your first time listening to a rap, and we don't have a theme song for these episodes, now is the part where we've all watched something that was explained unto us during the round, and we're gonna share our thoughts.
Yeah.
Starting with Greenland, which my first note is, it takes everything in me not to call it Green Book every time I say it. And I'm not even a fan of it, but you might hear me make a slip and be like, so then in Green Book, Gerard Butler's there. Kimmy explained it to us.
Yes.
It is an apocalyptic family survival story that is not too dissimilar to War of the Worlds. Mm. And I appreciated that because War of the Worlds is just top tier. It's the best. And from there, we've got this. So, like, my first note is actually just kind of like a little history of War of the Worlds and the comparisons and why I think this movie fits so well right now. Mm. War of the Worlds, Steven Spielberg's, came out as a response to 9/11. It came out in a time when Americans felt that they were unsafe, that they had been attacked, that there was nothing that they could hide from in their homeland, basically. And so that's kind of what the tripods are. Obviously, the tripods are attacking the whole world, but we're seeing an American perspective. And so it's just this idea of it could happen at any time, it's happening to everybody, it's civilians, and that's what it was. It was like a terrorist-type movie in that response. And I think the reason Greenland unintentionally works so well is because of COVID. I think it came out at a perfect time and isn't something stupid like Songbird that is a COVID movie. Instead, it is a movie about family, but also about doing good for others. Like, there are so many instances of this movie where Gerard Butler makes an effort to, like, reach out and save somebody. Like, he pulls a man from a burning car, even though he gets all fucked up doing that. And I thought that was a really powerful moment. And obviously there's stuff to do with, like, health and safety. And I just thought that that was really cool.
Wow, Courtney.
I didn't write it.
I think that's, like, that's a great draw.
Okay, so, like, War of the Worlds works so well in that action movie. And you're rooting so hard for Tom Cruise as he's running because I just remember being haunted by that woman next to him. And they're running. And I was like 11 years old and I'm looking at the screen and I'm like, please don't let her die, please don't let her die, please don't let her die, and then she gets zapped. And I think we're at a time a little bit later than that now where this movie didn't have too much destruction on screen. Instead, they like showed the shittily burned ruins of Florida and I was like, good artwork. But instead, I feel like I saw very few people die on screen, or if they did, they were the bad guys who were like hurting people. And so it was just, like, a nice, uplifting movie that I think is going to, like, affect people during this COVID time. In, like, I heard Karen on My Favorite Murder talking about it. She's like, some movie that I want everyone to see, Minari. And she just, like, goes on and on about Minari. And she goes, and Greenland. And I was like, why, Karen? But I thought that was really sweet. My first, like, real note in the movie is that Gerard Butler's character should not have eardrums by the end of this. He gets flat out sonic boomed so many times, a jet plane explodes next to him. And I was like, what? But he's chilling, I guess. And then Daniel and I had an interesting conversation about what would your apocalypse weapons be, because some ding dong brought a hammer. And I was like, you brought a hammer?
If it was something that I had, is that what you picked? Is, like, something you have?
I don't have it, but, like, I guess I could go get it. It's not a gun. It's not an Uzi. It's not, like, it'd be hard to get. I chose things I could get easily.
Do you want us to go first?
Sure, I don't care.
Do you have something?
Well, I actually have a bug-out bag in the trunk of my car.
What's in it?
A knife.
A knife?
How big is
How
it?
Big is a knife! Knife!
Maybe, like, 4 inches? 4.5 inches? I don't know. It's like a good, like, camping knife. And I really haven't explored the bag that much, so there might be other things in there.
That's a good one.
But I don't know. That's close body combat, you know. It is. So I don't know if I would want to do that. But I don't feel comfortable with a gun. And I just can't fucking fathom that.
I can't either. I don't want a gun.
Yeah.
I honestly, I picked something non-realistic and stupid. I was talking to Daniel, and I was like, chainsaw! Because yeah. Who's gonna fuck with you if you've got a chainsaw?
True that.
It's not hard to get.
Yeah, it's not hard to get. And I think I said I would have something else in the other hand. I was like, chainsaw.
You're double handing?
I think I said like two chainsaws.
Yo, chainsaws are fucking heavy.
I don't know. And then I said like, and then secret weapon in my back pocket.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I just think it's stupid. Like, if you're gonna bring a weapon, why choose a hammer?
A hammer is really dumb. Like, I'm trying to think of... Dakota's gonna be mad at me for saying this, but I'd bring, like, a fucking guitar as a weapon before a hammer. That's just, like, a big-ass hammer.
Right? And then you can look like an artsy person, like, if I'm gonna die, I just want old Sally the guitar. And then it's like, psych! Yeah, that's a good one. Thanks. And it's something you have.
Crossbow. Like, crossbow.
You can't get that.
I want a crossbow.
I mean, maybe if you go to, like, Bass Pro Shop at the right time.
Maddie has, like, archery stuff.
Fuck, that's so fucking sick.
That seems really hard, though.
No, it's, like, huge. It's fucking
archery
enormous.
Is also, like, really difficult to be good at.
But a crossbow is just, you can just pull it back and you're good.
I think a Negan bat would be super easy to make, to DIY. Yeah.
I have my fake one. Maybe people will think it's real and stay away from me.
Or, I mean, you can just get some barbed wire when you see it and wrap it around that one.
Yeah.
It's just like a soft version.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was just like a little question I had. Because I thought the hammer business was just silly.
That is silly.
But whatever. The extras in this movie are terrifying because they're running at full speed all the time. And it reminded me of a zombie horde.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like... If I have to run in the apocalypse, like, they were running from so much stuff. Yeah. They were running from comets, they were running from an exploding jet, and I was like, how? How am I gonna do that?
Yeah.
My other notes are a little bit nitpicky. I saw a Trump sticker on one of the trucks in this movie.
Wow.
There was a lot of product placement in this movie.
Really?
That was obnoxious to look at. All of a sudden, they're at the grandpa's house, and it's like, Almond Breeze, would you like some? Lysol wipes on the counter.
Wow, where do you get Lysol wipes?
Do you think all that counts?
Yeah. So anyways, there was some rampant product placement, but what are you going to do? I'm going to end with some, like, three good notes. I really, like I said, enjoyed that part where John saved someone. Maybe I just forgot you explaining that in the recording, but it was just nice to see. He's not a man with a hero complex. I love that he's not a man that's, like, built for everything the way Brad Pitt is in World War Z. Like, that man is like, I'm special ops. Mm-hmm. What kind of special ops? Special ones. Mm-hmm. And he, like, knows everything, and he can, like, speak all these languages and stuff. Like, this guy's just an architect, and he's doing his best, and he saw someone on fire, and he helped them, and I liked that. It was really nice when they did not use a score during the worst moments of the movie.
Like, to influence how you're feeling?
Exactly. We just watched Woman in the Window, and I was like, tone it down. Yeah. I get it. This part's scary.
Yeah.
But instead, they would go to silence a lot of the time, or you'd be watching the action, and it would be really impactful to not have overwhelming music underneath it. Great. Phenomenal. All the points to the young child casting they had in this.
Oh, awesome.
That little boy rocks. I can't wait to see what else he does. Doing what he's supposed to do, and I think he's really good. And my last note, I want to fuck Holt McCallany.
Who's that? Who's Holt McCallany?
Is that the skeppy
Bill
guy?
Bill Tench from Mindhunter, who was the pilot.
Oh, right.
Ugh. What a sexy man. What a beefcake. Oh my God. He literally comes out, he's like, I'm trying to fly this plane, Holden. And they were like...
Beefcake is so descriptive.
That's how he is.
That's
shaped.
How he is, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that wasn't my last note, because my last note is, I would have preferred if this movie had an ambiguous ending, which I know Kayleen hates, and which I know Jordan likes. Did you all see Jordan's review about Palm Springs?
I did, and I had thoughts, but I kept them to myself.
Do you want me to cut that from the podcast?
No, you can keep it. I want him to know.
Yes. No, I love the Palm Springs ending. I love it. I think it's great. And I'm happy if they keep it that way. With this one, I'm also happy they kept it this way. I guess just because this movie was made pre-pandemic, and they got lucky with making an ending that wasn't a bummer fest by, like, blackout, the big one has hit, what's gonna happen? But I like that idea because right before the blackout hits, he goes through his life memories, and he gets to see everything with his wife and with their son. And I'm like, even if it's up to interpretation, like, this man led a beautiful life. Pretty much everybody else on Earth died. So, like, why should I only be happy for this one character? Because he's the protagonist, of course. But it just, I think it would have been just as effective. I think they made the right choice, though, because in COVID times, people don't want to see misery.
Right.
I don't think.
I do appreciate the ending, too.
Those are my thoughts on the 2019 Oscar Best Picture winner, Green Land.
Okay. Divergent. So my first note is, you know how we talked about the obvious of, like, well, they have one personality trait. As I'm watching this movie, I'm like, this is kind of sad because it's like, even if you're not divergent and you're just, like, more smart than you are anything else, I feel like you have to make that your personality then, because that's, like, all you have, you know? Because as she's describing each of the factions, she says, like, oh, they're the smart ones. Oh, they're the truthful ones. And it's like, if someone is literally expecting you to be that, you kind of have to lean into it. It's just sad. Oh, I don't know if you guys said the actor who plays her dad, but he's the bad guy in Ghost.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. No. I feel like he pops up in shit all the time, and I'm always excited about him. She climbed up on a roof to get a better vantage point about something earlier in the movie, and I was like, dauntless.
I know. Like, if you see a fucking abnegation on a roof, shoot her.
She's obviously divergent. Yeah. And then she also stands up to Miles Teller really quick. I'm like, if I went into this movie blind, not knowing what it was about, I'd be like, this bitch is up to something.
Shoot her.
Yeah, shoot her. The test scene was just as dramatic as I thought, and I fucking loved it. I also loved Maggie Q's arms. She's so buff
as fuck arms. Wow.
I was just like, wow, what a piece. I guess I kind of get why they have a test, because they're trying to tell you about your true self, but it's like, if you're gonna let me choose, why even have a fucking test?
I really don't know.
It doesn't make any sense, because I guess it might influence me to leave my home, but if you're just gonna let me choose, does it really? Like, if you are a candor or something, you're probably already calling people on their bullshit in abnegation.
I would hope so. But so, maybe it's like a candor who, like, hates being mean, and then they find out that they're Amity. Of
now I get to be a bitch.
I really do feel like everybody is divergent, and maybe it's just like nature versus nurture. Like, you're being raised in an environment where you have certain characteristics and attributes that are ingrained in you, and it just squashes that divergent in you.
Because even if it's a nature versus nurture thing, then everyone who left their faction is essentially going to be half nature, half nurture. So isn't everyone at least, like, bivergent? I wish we had episode titles. Oh, this I thought was unrealistic and also just hilarious. Speaking from experience of being in quarantine and not fucking moving for basically a year, I can't run for shit. This bitch gets into Dauntless. She's like, here I go, running to catch up with the train. I'm like, have been.
You've never run in your life.
Yeah. You've probably never done cardio. This is not. This is not happening. I didn't know who Jai Courtney was, and now I'm realizing I've seen him in a bunch of shit. He was just in Terminator that we watched.
Oh,
but also, he looks like Macklemore.
He looks exactly like Macklemore. Have we ever seen them in the same room together?
That's my first thought when I saw him. I said, that's Macklemore.
I would love it if Macklemore just, with no warning, became...
Have you seen a picture of Macklemore lately?
He is Jai Courtney. And I want Macklemore to have an acting career. I think he like, could do it.
Jai Courtney. Did you say you want Macklemore to have an acting career?
Yes. I said what I said.
What? Did I stutter?
What makes you think that he would have an affinity?
Because he looks like Jai Courtney.
Yeah, he could do anything, Kimmy.
But anyway, the point is he looks exactly like him and Kimmy agrees.
Okay.
The second thing? I'm on, like, note 10. Anyway, next note is that when they get to the Dauntless headquarters or whatever, like, the place where they sleep, there's no bathroom stalls. And I'm like, I know they all change in front of each other and they're like, we're just cool with it, but ew, dude, give me bathroom stalls.
Yeah.
I know that you guys said this part in the podcast, but I just cackled so hard when he goes, what makes you think you can talk to me? Because it's so extra. Again, another thing we talked about, but it was just so much more extra than I imagined. They're so fucking mean to the homeless. Like, when they see the faction list, they're literally like, ew, look at that ugly piece of shit. Like, when they're right there.
Yeah.
It's so mean. Oh, I also didn't realize how many fucking people get cut. For some reason, I was thinking it was just, like, a handful, but it was out of, I think, because it was only people who are going to this faction from a different faction, and I believe there were 30-ish people, and a third of them were getting cut.
Mm-hmm. Actually, this poses an interesting question. Do they only have a certain amount of spots in Dauntless available, so it's not, like, dependent on your score? Like, if you score above a certain amount, you automatically make it. But they're like, nope, once 30 is filled up, you know, the rest of
that would be nicer if it wasn't just to be douchebags.
Oh, no, oh. And it's new as well in this year, and it's because, like, Janine has risen to power, and Macklemore, like, wants to run things his own way. And so, I'm pretty sure Amity, they'll just let you stay there forever. And Candor, like, you probably have to be, like, smart and good at the law. They'll let you stay. Erudite, it's in the books. They cut you if you fail your tests. Like, you're taking math every day. You're taking science tests. Disgusting. You're doing all this stuff. And then Abnegation, I'm sure it's, like,
you're good.
You're good.
Yeah.
As long as you don't, like,
look in the mirror.
Those faction lists.
Yeah. If you look in a mirror for 10 seconds, I will kill you.
Yeah. If you have any sort of vanity, they're like, get out of here.
Yeah. Earrings? No.
Yeah.
Shailene Woodley's hair in this is fucking beautiful.
I know.
I just had a comment on it. It's, like, so thick, and she just, like, runs around, and it's flipping, and it looks so cute. Whatever.
It's that good in Big Little Lies. She's got great hair.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she does have good hair.
Oh, those close-up shots, every time that he touches her, I was like, YA thirst trap. Like, anytime he touches her waist, they were like, did you catch that? He's got his hand on her waist. I almost spilled Kimmy's tea just now.
Yeah.
The zipline scene was cool, like you said, but they made that break fucking impossible to get to. They're like, right before you hit the wall, make sure you get the break that's basically by your butt. Like, how are you? And you're going so fast, and it's, like, shaking around. She would have... so easy to just die.
What a fun way to die, though. Ziplining to ME3.
Like, you'd probably die quick.
You got a blaze of glory. Yeah. To a brick wall.
Also, like...
you ignite.
How dark would it be if, like, the person before her fucked up, and as she soars down, there's just, like, a fucking massacre scene right there?
Ew.
And everyone's, like, traumatized and not happy for her because
of it.
I don't
think anyone can be traumatized in this faction.
You're not allowed to be traumatized. Or else you're dumb.
If you shed a tear, you're obviously a little bitch. That shit with Al was really dark, and I liked it.
Mm.
Like, I liked that there was something that I was like, ooh, that's pretty spicy. Mm-hmm. It was sad when she confronts him. I was like, that was heavy. His tattoo is uglier than I remember. It's literally so big, and, like, it wraps around every, like, around his stomach, around his shoulder. I'm like, this is fucking ugly. Another thing that I thought, because I mean, this movie, like, it was fine. It was entertaining. I wouldn't call it good. But when I was watching it, I'm saying this to preface what I'm about to say.
I would call it a masterpiece.
When I got to the part where her mom dies and she cries, I shed a tear. Yeah, I was like,
emotional.
You tricked me, movie. It was really sad.
That's what's weird about this movie is that, you're right, it's not good. But there's, like, pockets of, like...
there's pockets of
this
good.
This is uncharacteristic of this movie.
And then it kind of made me wonder, maybe I need to watch Big Little Lies to tip more in Shailene's favor.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
She's really good
at it. Her and Nicole Kidman are that show.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Oh, my God.
My last note is just that I found it charming when she was guiding her family through Dauntless. Like, it's just cute that she knows what she's doing, and from where she was at the beginning, like, now she gets to guide them around.
Yeah.
And they, like, are kind of looking up to her. I thought that was nice.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun touch.
Yeah. So it was definitely enjoyable. Dakota watched it with me. He, like, really wanted to watch it with me, and we had fun.
I think I would rewatch it in, like, a fun mood.
Yeah.
Like, it's a time.
For sure.
I kind of want to watch the other ones just to see what happens.
I'd watch them.
Okay, cool.
Let's do it.
That's it. Taking it over to Kimmy to finish us out.
All right, let's fucking harken ass back to Suffragette. So there's this opening shot of a reflection in the puddle. I don't know. This is really detailed. This is a tiny detail, but all I wrote was, so good. And then we have to hop on over to the woman who plays Mrs. Houghton. Houghton?
She's the one at the end.
Yeah, and like kind of at the beginning.
Yeah,
this on the soapbox. That woman is Romola Garay, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, but she's an actress, probably one of the first actresses of my entire life that I had a huge movie star crush on.
Oh.
Like at a really young age. I saw her in a TV movie series called The Incredible Journey of Mary Bryant in 2005.
What the hell?
I think Kimmy's making up a bunch of stuff right now. I think at the end she's going to be like, I got you.
No, it's real.
This sounds like a Kimmy past story.
Like, I think around that time, I had read the Great and Terrible Beauty series by Libba Bray, and I was like really into fan casts on the internet, and I always cast her as one of the characters because she was like perfect for the role, and she's too old now.
That's so fun for you.
Yeah. Okay, this next note, somebody I think in the laundry says, she thinks we should be paid more on her high horse again. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, a woman was saying that about...
No, a dude was saying that about a woman or something. Yeah, the misogyny is rampant, and it's just so annoying because these are real people's thoughts then.
Oh, yeah.
These are real people's thoughts now, and it's fucking irritating. Then I noticed that as Maude kind of, like, is integrated into these things and shown all these things, like, there can be more to you, you know, just the life that you have now... Her education on this matter makes her more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Really irks me that education was kept from people like Maude to keep them weaker, to keep them small-minded so that they wouldn't rise up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's speckled throughout the rest of the movie. Like, I think I'll have a note later on where a soldier says, all right, you've had your fun, just infantilizing their movement.
Right. Yeah.
Putting that mindset on them.
As if it's just because they're bored.
Yeah. So then Mr. Lloyd, who is, like, really nice to them at their testimony.
Yeah, that's
he's, tundral. Like, so, like, authentically encouraging.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I'm like, does this character actually, like, feel good about the movement? Why the fuck was he so nice to her if...
To keep her calm?
Maybe. I don't know. He seemed really genuine, and I was like, why would you promise something without a certain end game?
Yeah, to quote Brendan Gleeson in the movie, they promised nothing, they gave nothing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But also, like, body language and shit.
He was crossing his fingers behind his back.
But also, I love how they repeatedly underestimate the women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know? What is this mindset? And I also, like, recently read about, like, history and how religion kind of rewrote history to be very male-dominant. And we had all these ancient religions that were women-centric.
Mm-hmm.
And about how beautiful and, like, sacred and respected women were and stuff. And all of that has been erased. Mostly, I'm just, like, pissed off through most of this movie.
That's the point.
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. It's doing its job. Okay, so then, Mrs. Pankhurst, she comes in and she says...
She says, bippity-bop.
She says, never surrender. Never give up the fight. I fucking teared up, you guys. And I was like, I know that it's Meryl Streep coming in, doing her Meryl Streeping, you know?
Her Streeping?
But I was like, But one of my critiques about this is I wish there had been more build up with Mrs. Pankhurst so that her speech would have been more rousing and earned. She's kind of like a like too small of a character. Like I felt like she was in and out and that was it. And I don't know. I guess we're sitting from Maud's perspective, and that is what's happening to her. But as an audience member, I wanted some, oh, Mrs. Pink, she's coming, you know. And, like, just a little more build up to make it more earned. Yeah, so, interesting. My next note says, I just love Maud and Violet's relationship at the inn. Like, I think that's when their relationship blossoms, and it's just so sweet. They're commiserating, and it was so sweet. I don't know. I loved it. Then they take Georgie away, and they got that kid to cry massive-ass tears, and I was donezo. Maud's monologue with Mr. Gleason, Brendan Gleason, is so good. And I just think that her character arc from, oh, no, I'm not a suffragette, to this point is incredible. Mm-hmm. What a journey that she goes through. I love it. Then the force feeding part happens. And I had to close my eyes, you guys. Oh, God. Like, I couldn't watch the whole thing. It was that bad. It's
very scary.
I don't think I close my eyes during much when I watch movies, but that got down to the nitty gritty, and I was like, that's too much.
You just vom on your floor.
Yeah. Then I cried again because it was just so overwhelming, and I'm like, this movie's fucking PG-13, guys. Like, what the fuck? And my last couple notes are these. I love the unspoken language and understanding between women. And Maud doesn't have to say anything else to Mrs. Houghton about Maggie, bringing Maggie. Her subtext says it all. Mm-hmm. And they understand the predicament that they're in, the things that they have to do to survive. It's their lot in life. And I just love that. And then the live footage got me good, you guys. I was like, wow. Ultimately, this movie was 1 hour 40, and I felt like it was rushed, and I'm not really sure why. Like, I felt like it could have held so much more emotional weight if it took its time. Like, movies like these can be like 20 minutes longer. They typically are, I feel like. Oh, and I also thought that it deserved a tremendous score, and I don't think it got that. Like, they needed some Howard Shore business or something. Like, I don't know. I thought it really deserved it, and I felt like it was a movie that could have handled it, and I don't know why they didn't really have that. So, I loved that movie. It was great.
It's really good.
All right, now it's me still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Boogie Nights, you guys. The opening sequence is amazing. What a fantastic way to quickly introduce characters and get a feel for who each individual is, in essence. Mm-hmm. And Mark Wahlberg looks up. And he definitely looks like, with that haircut, one of a dude's like in a porno. Like,
oh, yeah.
I love the transitions between scenes, like when Julianne Moore is about to call her son, they show a quick splice shot of a drink being filled and her doing a line of Coke. And then that's like the introduction to the scene. Mm-hmm. Like a lot like how the Shaun of the Dead movies made. Where it's all like,
Edgar Wright editing choices.
Yeah, it's like the typical thing is to be like, here's the house that we're about to go inside. But it's like, oh no, let's pour some coffee. Now we know we're in a diner.
That's so funny, because I was just like, what's the movie that does that, but like faster? It's also Edgar Wright. It's Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
It's the best. Why would I want to watch it another way?
And Daniel, actually, a long, long time ago.
He showed me that too.
Yeah. Back in you guys' old apartment.
Yeah.
He showed me that video, and I was like, wow. Like, I fucking didn't realize that was a device, and it is, and it's so brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, the way that Roller Girl's outfit came off was fucking hilarious. And you guys explained it really well, but I felt like it was something that I had to see to fully grasp.
Of course, I said her butt falls off.
She, like, it came down and off, and I was like, whoa, where can I get one?
Now the audience has heard it twice, and they're like, I want to see her butt fall off.
So amazing. Okay, most of my notes are me trying to prevent myself from fawning over Philip Seymour Hoffman's acting abilities. Like, he's incredible.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
He's so cute. Yeah. And so, there's so many idiosyncrasies, and it's just like, it's
hard to take your eyes off of him.
He's amazing. And his entrance, when he's introduced, is amazing. And he's just like a chameleon. He's an entirely different person in his entire essence. Like, he breathes out of his mouth in that weird way, and like you can see his gears turning, like when he's thinking internally after he meets Dirk for the first time. He's like so smitten, like he already knows that he will never want him, but he can't help himself. It's like so complex and just like, how does a person do that? It's so incredible.
Yeah.
It's layered. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what's up. So I loved the filming of the porno scene. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Dirk's first one. Uh-huh. I couldn't stop cackling. It's so fucking funny. And I love the exchange between Dirk and Amber, Julianne Moore, uh-huh. where he's like, it's like literally amazing. So cute. And later she's like, you're doing a really great job, Dirk. And he's like, does it feel good? And she's like, yeah. Like coddling him. And yeah. I don't know. I feel like Julianne Moore understood this assignment
for
so
sure.
well.
Yeah.
I love the dance sequence. Like, how fun is that? Like, I'm sure it gets mundane after a while. You're coming to set. You're doing lines. Hopefully not, you know. But then you get a day on the schedule where it's like, today we're going to learn a dance sequence.
Yeah.
And we're going to just have a blast in disco attire and do a dance. A song plays. It's the same song from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Gotta Give It Up.
Yeah, and it's the one where he's doing the creepy dancing. Sam Rockwell.
Did you say that when we watched it?
I said when we watched it. We didn't say it on the pod, though.
Okay, yeah.
Did you guys know that that song had a lawsuit with Blurred Lines?
Oh, because they sound similar?
They sound exactly the same.
I have a lawsuit with Blurred Lines.
I start to get, like, really, like, thinky in this part. What about what the film is trying to say? Because Jack is saying, in all seriousness, that this is a real film and it's art. But it's clearly terrible. And Paul Thomas Anderson knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Is he making a joke about film producers thinking really highly of themselves when they're just part of commercialization? I don't know. I think there's something more there, and that's what I think is so great about him. But also, he could just be like, this fucking guy thinks that porn is art. Which
or
is
it
likely.
Could just be, like, whatever your thing is, like, wanting it to be the best of that thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe his is the best. And so, like, to him, it's important.
Yeah.
Even though to us, it's shitty.
So then Dirk does a line of coke with Amber, and he says, do you think I look cool when I do it? And that just breaks my heart. Because this whole movie is about people wanting to belong and, like, fit in and feel important. And, like, they're needed. And he's so ignorant in his desire to fit in and be cool. And he just doesn't know who he is. He's really just an amalgamation of everyone around him.
Yeah.
He's not really his own identity. All he is his dick. And I'm saying that in all seriousness.
It's kind of a bummer. Like, obviously there's a clear story arc that goes the way of Boogie Nights where it's like, person falls into a hole, person goes back to roots. But it's kind of a bummer that he doesn't get a chance to find who he is on his own. It's like, if anything, he just goes darker and comes back to less dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't, yeah.
So now at this point, I'm at the New Year's party now. And these long one-take tracking shots are fucking incredible. And there's like 70 of them in this movie. And then he has the fight where he is super coked up and Jack's like, you gotta get out of here. And he really is a little boy in this fight where he gets fired. I like this fight too because it's not really good like as far as text goes. And that's not how fights really are. And we see that in fights in movies. They're really eloquent and stuff. And that's not how fights really are. You know, you say stupid shit like, I'm the best and this guy sucks and fuck you, I'm gonna be great. And they're really doing it well here. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
The singing scene where he goes to the recording studio is fucking cringe. It's so fucking cringe. And he thinks it's good. He really thinks it's good. It's so horrible.
Can't believe that they thought that when they took it, they'd have money to pay back the demo place.
Yeah, they're just so coked up and like, I don't know. Then Mark Wahlberg is coked up and gets in the car before he's beaten by the people committing the hate crime. He looks so bad. He, like, physically. He looks so worse for wear. And then I didn't really take any more notes after that, but except for I did want to say that his dick's fucking huge.
It's his dick is huge.
Like, you guys know that thing that Dakota does where he, like, puts his arm on the table? He's like, that's a dick. I was like, that's it. That's what they're talking about. And then I kept thinking about what you were saying, Kayleen, about it being hard to feel empathy for these people who are doing a disservice to this poor, naive character. And remember when I did that play Blackbird?
Yeah.
And there was a Q&A after the play, and one of the people said, was clearly upset, and they were like, why do you think that this play is made it? This author is just, like, making you sympathize with a bad guy.
Oh, God.
And I, what I said was, my character is clearly fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that the author here is saying that you should empathize with this guy. I think that everything that has occurred in this play is a testament to how horrible and destructive this relationship was. Mm. And that's what I think that this movie is doing, and this what I think PTA is trying to do is, I don't think that he's making anybody empathize with, oh, look, this guy, now you come back. I don't think there's any doubt that this was the wrong path.
Yeah.
But I do think that he's having fun and having, like, a nice ending. You don't really get that in most of his other movies.
Yeah, yeah. I just felt like there wasn't, like, I agree with what you're saying. I just felt like there was, like, no attention paid mm-hmm. to the fact that he begins as a minor. Like, whatever was implied, but it's, like, that's never brought up. And they're, like, ew, look at this guy with the child porn. We hate him now. And it's, like, he's not that much different.
Yeah.
It's, I guess that's still my sticking point with it.
Yeah, I think that you're right about that. Yeah. And I think it is a really interesting choice to be, like, oh, now he's back with him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's better than being fucked up in the street.
Which it is.
You know, but yeah. All of these things happened because of that guy.
Right.
You know, and so, I don't know. It makes me want to do more research on it to see, like, why those choices were made. But yeah, ultimately, I thought it was, like, a really great movie, and it just makes me want to watch more of his stuff.
It's definitely a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it for today, folks. Ooh, thanks for doing two movies, Kimmy.
Yeah, that was rough. I don't know if I'll do that
again. And we had two, like, apocalyptic movies, too.
Catch us next week to start off round 11.
Whoa.
What?
I mean, our upcoming guest does also look a lot like Jai Courtney Macklemore.
Oh my god.
No, we're kicking off, and bookending, we should say, round 11 with another crossover, but this time, like, a for real guest episode. Mm-hmm. We're having guest stars on from Take 3, a movie podcast, and Jordan has volunteered to go first with a movie he had seen prior to asking me to explain it with him. I've now watched it. He and I will be explaining to Kimmy and Kayleen Vivarium, starring Imogen Poots and Mark Zuckerberg. No, Jesse Eisenberg is actually going kind of against type in this.
Really?
So that's kind of cool. Yeah, so we're going to be doing that. It is a psychological sci-fi mystery thriller, and it's starting off the round.
Fun.
And probably before then, you will be catching Kimmy on their podcast.
Oh, yes.
Probably. Yes.
No promises. Catch us then, and go support Take 3, a movie podcast, and also shout out to Sweet Film Talk, the other podcast we've mentioned today.
And Carrie.
And Carrie.
We heart you, Carrie.